My message today is to love lavishly. You know, love is the key to everything we do. And we used to sing that at Sunday school. And it is. And God just, as I really pondered on this yesterday, God just said, I want you to speak on my love and how much he loves us and how much we're to love one another. And I just pray that this message touches you like it touched me. I've been through years where God has taught me how to love. I'm just going to bring up an example. I had the flu sick, thinking all I want is tomato soup. And that day, knock, knock, knock on the door, Marcia brought me tomato soup. That is love. And I'm going, how did she know? And that's exactly what I wanted. And I just thought, that is an example of love, isn't it? But, you know, I always remember Bob Jones when he did pass away, but he was brought back to life. And I've said this many times, but the Lord met him and said, Bob, did you love much? And love is the key. And he knew that that was the message that he was to bring to the world. And it really did something for me. You know, the world is so full of hatred, anarchy, you know, rebellion, anger, all demonic things happening. I mean, I'm hearing of Christians that are going down, backsliding so much. And I'm going, God, I went to a couple that he's left her and I sat with this lovely girl with three beautiful children, and I'm going, God, why don't they hear the truth of your word? And it's like the world is so much in darkness, but we've got to shine. Wow. Ephesians 5:1-2. Therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. For us to smell, you know, to have the taste of honey, to be the love of his presence to come on us. You know, the scripture says it all really. We're to be imitators of God to love. Is it on there? Yeah, so let us be imitators of God. You know, I've talked a lot about my sister Jean, how she had so much bitterness towards me, how much she hurt me, she put me down, she would never encourage, she was 14 years older. I lived in absolute agony and pain of the things that she said over me. When I was in France on the mission field, Pauline died when we were 27, and this letter came from Jean, and she blamed me for the death of my twin sister. You can imagine what that, I've lost my twin sister, and I'm getting blamed because she said Pauline died with a broken heart because I was in France. But Pauline and I loved each other. Pauline and I were serving the Lord. Pauline released me and said, I'm so proud of you. I knew that Pauline hadn't died of a broken heart. But this letter came and it crippled me. And Jean did many things. When my mother had a stroke, I went through a marriage breakup, and Jean blamed me for mum's stroke. So I wore a lot of things of hurt, discouragement, thinking I'm no good. I didn't have a father. And so it was like, God, what are you saying in this? And then I remember I was at a John Wimber conference, and the gift of love fell on me. And I just, I just loved for a year, and everything, every message was on love. Everything that came to me was on love. I wanted to hug everybody into the love of Jesus. I wanted this love to permeate. I wanted this love. And so with Jeannie, I just loved on her. I kept loving, and every time she hurt me, I prayed, I forgave, but I loved on her. I sent her cards of beautifulness. I sent her little presents. I said, I appreciate you, because she had to look after us twins when Mum was little. That's where the bitterness came from. I understood. But, you know, if I hadn't continued to love, you know, and families get so pulled apart. But because I continued to love, I was able to lead her into the kingdom at the end of her life. All she wanted was me to be with her. Love conquers all. Love, even if someone's hurting you, that's family, just push through. Forgive. But love. Love is the key to everything. This message is so from God because of the time we're in. You know, and freely forgive offenses. It took me a while. You know, when I got this letter from Jean, I just cried and I cried. I was 27. I was having a baby. This letter comes and blames me. But then I learnt. Jean's angry that Pauline died. She's hurt. She's full of grief. And I was hurting. But I was able to truly, truly forgive. And in Matthew 22, 37 to 38, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." And everything, we've got to love him with our heart, soul, and mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus gave love priority over all other Christian virtues. We can do everything, you know, and I just feel people are to find who they are in God. Don't look at other people of what they can do, but do what you are called to do. Otherwise, you always fall short. I was trying to be like Clive. You know, he knew the scriptures. He knew. And I thought, you know, and then God said, "You are different. Don't even compare. Don't even, you know, just don't compare yourself with anybody. It's just to love and love and love. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, love your husbands. Love, love, love is the key. And God said, with your whole mind, love them. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." If I see Christians criticizing and pulling down, I had someone ring me up on, I really felt under it, but this lady from Auckland who's a counselor and just hears from God, she says, "Trish, you're under two Jezebel spirits and there's two knives gone in your back." And she said, "I want to pray for you." And she was weeping, praying for me. I don't know where they've come from. It's none of you, I know that. But it's like, but I felt it. You know, it could be family members. I've got one that's in Scientology, and Clive's daughter's very much into New Age. You just don't know where. But it's like, we can pray, get released. And she prayed. But that was love. That was love. She was praying for me. She rang me and said, "Trish, I want to pray." I felt so loved. I felt so loved. Whoa. But there's one thing that I had to learn, and I say this, is to learn to really love ourselves first. You cannot give out if you do not love yourself. And you say, is that biblical? Let's look at Ephesians 5:29. For no one hated his own flesh. You know, I can say I've got big ears and I've got big legs, but I love myself who I am in God. You don't have to be beautiful to love yourself. It's to be who you are. I saw Darlene Check worshipping, and she just glowed with the glory of God. It was like, I can see Jesus in her. I can see the love in her, the love she had for him. And she took me right there. I just went, just thought, oh, I want what she's got. And the love that was flowing from her. But this is, you know, it's like, we have to love ourselves. See, it says, for no one hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. So does that mean you have to love yourself? And not to let self-pity. If self-pity comes in, it's actually a bit of pride. The Lord told me that. He said, because he said self-pity, you're looking at yourself, it's all about you. If only you knew. If only you knew this and if only you knew that. I remember when I was going through my second marriage breakup, and you know, it was just like, if only you knew what I was going through, and all this self-pity was pouring out me. My body was in anguish, you know, I was just crying and I'm going, nobody understands. But, you know, God understands. And I was so full of self-pity. I remember my first marriage broke up. Someone said, if you don't get out of this, you will have no friends. And if you keep saying these destructive words, nobody wants to be with you. You know, you don't like being with people that it's all about them, do you? Negative, negative. I mean, sometimes we need each other to love one another, to pray through. I mean, I've come to people, Lynette or whatever, and just said, I need prayer. That's good. But it's not to have self-pity. It's not to dwell on you. It's to look for the answers, because God is love. Hallelujah. He made us to be exactly how he wanted us to be. You know, he chose our parents. He chose your mother. He chose your father. And he chose you to be the way that you are born right now. Even if my father was jumped the fence and I'd never met him, God chose my father for me to be who I am. He chose my mother for me to be who I am. I love it. Even though our parents mightn't have been great, we are changed from glory to glory. Even if they weren't walking in the Spirit, we've been given the good things of them and made them beautiful. You know, I could, I watch those Lost and Founds where they don't know the Father. I'm bawling away. If only I knew my Father. If only I knew. But it's healing. But you know that God knew. Like my father was away fixing aeroplanes. He only came back one day. And they must have got together. And one day, and Mum could hardly ever have children. There's 14 years between Jean and I. But one day he came home, and out come Pauline and I 9 months later. And my brother said, it's in the diary, in Dad's diary, when he went home. And I'm going, if he hadn't have gone home, I wouldn't have been here. Well, it's true, isn't it? God knows, and not just one of us, but two of us. Double barrel. You know, I just think, Mum, why didn't you have more children before? Well, I tried. You know, it's not my fault kind of thing. So we were a miracle. And it had to be double. And Pauline and I, we just loved each other. We just prayed together. We never argued. We really were in the Spirit. And yet, we weren't Spirit-filled, but the love of God used to permeate out of Pauline and I, And we were called the Bible bashers. We were called the dippers. But do you know what? We so loved God. The love of us, even at 12, I mean, when I got saved, and Pauline got saved just before, but it changed the household. It changed the atmosphere. And my twin was a bit of a goody-goody. You know, she was in the Word the whole time. She was, she learned all the scriptures. And I wasn't quite there, but I still loved the Lord. I'd sooner be out talking. We were different. I remember someone said, "I can't believe it's you that's going on the mission field." Never thought it would be you. It would go, I never, ever thought it would be you. I always thought it would be Pauline. But see, God knew. And I was able to touch the French people with the love of God. Whoa. You know, so no putting yourselves down, okay? No self-pity. We break off self-pity. Just say, I want. And you know, I think I've got it in my notes. But I learnt, because I never had a father. But I remember Lynette when I was in burnout. And Lynette said, just ask Daddy God. Tell him, Daddy God, I give you permission to love on me. And I tell you what, if you say that prayer every morning, you might say, but Father, you might have a different name, but Daddy God's me. And I'd say, Daddy God, I give you full permission to love on me. And he loves on you. You will see it in the birds. You will see it in your doggy. You will see it in everything that's good. Darwin's got a new doggy and it's just so loved. Bailey's his name. But it's like, that's what God wants to do. You know, in John 3:16, we know it. This first scripture I learnt, let's all say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Is that love? That is not love. Oh, there's a song I know that I loved and I sat in it. But it's like, when you go back to that, John 3:16, that we all know, that is love. You know, the Father sent his Son to die for us. It is so powerful. And this is the love we have to tell others and pour it on other people. He wants to love us. You might think I'm all airy-fairy today, but this is so from my heart. It is so from my heart that we need to love one another. And if you've got unforgiveness and you've got hurt and you've been belittled and you've been put down and you've been all these things. I mean, I've been through 2 broken marriages. I know what it's like to be belittled. I know what it's like for people to cross the road. They don't want to talk to me. I had a whole church that turned against me when my daughter was abused. I've been rejected and rejected and rejected. And it's like, you know, I say to the Father, do I have to go to a deeper level in forgiving? He says, well, you still haven't forgiven that person because when you see them, it hurts. And I say, but Father, he hurt me so much. I had a church that absolutely mocked me, mocked my giftings, put me down. And it's like, we've got to get over it. And if you've been hurt from leadership and pastors, you know, people, I was talking to another pastor, and he said, people are going from one church to another. Nobody's sitting on the seats and staying. And I said, well, we've got a beautiful lot of people that are staying. They only go when they get new jobs and things like that. But most of the people, and it's like, but he said, I'm so discouraged. And I said, well, yeah, I understand that. Pastors need encouraging. Pastors need to be loved. Pastors need to be honored. So if you've been bullied, I just hurts me you know, the school is getting more wicked, the children's school, and my little girl, Ellie's been bullied. And, you know, it's just, it comes in, and but, she, you know, it was through it all that she said, I want to know your Jesus. Nana, I want to see this, I want to sing the songs that you sing. She knew the love, she knew the love I had for her. And it's like, we can rise up. If we stay hurt, if we stay rejected, if we stay in self-pity, we cannot reach out. So many people need a hug. I need huggles. So many people need encouraging and exhorting. The world is getting so dark, and I hear so much bad news. It's like we need to encourage one another in the things of God. Get together to pray and to praise. Oh, what's all that? Yeah, I just said not to compare and to accept yourself. So today, say, I accept myself in God. I am glad who I am. I am glad of the gifts I have. I thank you for my parents. I thank you for my family. I thank you for all the goodness you have done, God. I'm going to change. I'm going from glory to glory with His love. Yeah. I'm just going to read. I'm just going to speak a wee bit about my mother. My mum was very Scottish. As you all know, I'm proud of my Scottish part of me. But she was never an encourager. Never ever said I was good at anything. Never really said a good thing about me. So, you know, the discouragement. And I was so glad I had a twin sister. Mum was harsh. I used to get belted. I used to be black and blue. I remember having a hit on the head because I sat on her cake and I didn't know it was down there. But I can understand her anger. But she had this cake that she was icing for a wedding, and she had it under the, kind of under the chair, and we were playing Ludo or Snakes and Ladders, and I snuggled back and sat down, and the cake went like that. But I didn't know it was there. But man, did I get a belt. And I had this, and she kept on coming and feeling my head, and I'm thinking, oh, she must be feeling a bit guilty. But I don't know how she straightened out the cake, to be honest. But this will make me cry. But Mum, I just loved her. Again, because I knew Jesus, and I knew the love that He had for me, and I knew that He had died for me. And Mum, in the last 10 years of her life, my older sister slept the night with her. My other sister, Tuck, used to visit her in the daily day. And I used to go every holiday I'd give up to look after Mum. And I just asked God how I could love on her, how I could make her feel so special. I just spent my whole time, and you know, she didn't wear makeup or anything like that. But I said, Mum, I'm going to blow dry your hair. I'm going to put some makeup on. Well, she just, but she was loving every bit of it. And the other sisters wouldn't need to eat fish and chips. So, you know, me and my fish and chips. I was out the door, Mum, I'll get your fish and chips. We'll have fish and chips tonight. Don't you tell Tap. No, Mum. But I loved on her and made her very, very special. And so, and I was able to talk to her about Jesus. And then she sent me this book, Love is Forever. And she's got it in it. I bought a photo of my mum and dad today to make me feel loved. But this is very precious what I'm sharing now. She put to my dearest daughter, Patricia, the one that loves. your loving mum on the 14th of June 1991, and that was the year she passed away. She also, and it's all on love. The whole book is just on love. It means, what I did for her meant so much that it brought her into the kingdom of God. And these are all scriptures and words, and it's all on love. And that I treasure, because my mother saw the love of Jesus in me. And this is what she put in this one. A daughter means a world of joy, right from the very start. Well, she would never have said that over me. A daughter means a world of pride, a warm and fill your heart. And when a daughter is as sweet and wonderful as you are, a daughter means a world of love, a last, a lifetime through. To my dearest Patricia. She never called me Patricia. She always called me Pat. Pat, Pat, Pat. Pat, Pat, Pat. But it became Patricia just before she died. And I'm just going to... who's got a good reading voice? Hey? I'd like a man's voice if that's all right. I might get Stephen. Yeah, all the way down to there, and then over to there. So I want you to listen to this and let it soak in.
Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love.
Thanks, Steve. Well read. I know that when we get to heaven and we've loved much, the Lord is well pleased with us because he's loving and he's kind and he's compassionate. And, you know, when God gives me a message, it went so deep into my heart. And, you know, I've been growled at. I had an itinerant lady came and said, "You're too loving, you're too gooey, you're too..." And I said, "This is who I am in God." Some people say, "Get a backbone, Trish." But I have when I'm in the Holy Spirit. I mean, love disciplines too. You know, love, you don't let people walk all over you. That's love. Jesus got angry when he went into the sin, you know, when they were gambling, just all the tables went over. We stand for righteousness in love. Yeah, and I just don't, I just want, yeah, let's stand, and I need a few, and team come up. I just feel to break a few things off you, where you've been hurt, where you've been rejected, where you feel you're not good enough. Let's just break those things, because God today wants you to take you to the next level where you can put that behind you and that you can go forward in love. See, we can all prophesy, and sometimes it's so haughty and so up themselves, and it's not love. But when you hear someone prophesy in love, you hear the difference. And you know, it is the key to everything. Father, I just want to break. So anything that you know that is in you, false humiliation, God's just saying, is one. I had that over me big time. And it's a crippling spirit that, you know, you feel down and you feel, you know, everything's against you. So you bow down to people. I want to break that right now. Lord, every spirit of false humiliation, I just pray, Father, that you lift it off right now in Jesus' name. Father, we ask for the blood of Jesus here. And we just pray, Lord, for spirits where people are putting themselves down, where the enemies come in like a flood. And Lord, you're a loving God, and you don't want those people to be feeling like that. You want them to be filled with the joy and with the love and the fullness of everything that you are. So Lord, we just say, Lord, let self-pity just come off people now. That's you, just let it go. Just let it go. Say, I don't want that anymore. I want the joy of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's going. I'm getting people have been humiliated. Wow, this is a big one. I just really got... I just want you to put your hand up. If you've been really humiliated doing the things of God, but also in family, put your hands high, because God wants this broken off you. It can be through marriage, it can be through school, it can be through anything. God wants to lift that off you today. Put your hand right in the air. Thank you, Jesus. I got that very strong. Father, I just want you, those ones with their hands up, just say, I renounce the spirit of humiliation. I forgive those ones that have humiliated me. And I release them to you, Father, and I bless them. And now, Father, I just come in the authority and the power and in the blood of Jesus, and I break every spirit, I want you to breathe it out, of humiliation that has been over you. I break the power of it. I break the stronghold. I just say, God, let it be lifted right off now in Jesus' name. God is saying too, I'm in the prophetic, okay, that by that coming off you, circumstances are going to change and you're not going to come under humiliation again. The enemy cannot get you. So remember, if someone comes and humiliates you, say, I do not have to accept it. I'm not. You say it to yourself, but I am free, and free indeed. So Lord, I pray too for rejection, self-rejection, self-hatred. I just ask, Father, that you lift it off right now and you breathe it out, those ones that are suffering. There's few of you. Out it comes in Jesus' name. I had to have all this off me before I could love. Before I could truly love. Thank you, Jesus. And now I pray, Father, Lord, you gave me, I don't know, your heart, your love. And I just pray, Father, that your love will just fall on people right now. Lord, they will feel your love, that they're not out in the cold. They're not being left abandoned. But, Lord, they see your arms pulling them into the fold, saying, Jesus went after that lamb that was right at the bottom. And he says, my hands are outstretched, and I bring you into that gift to love and to love and to love. And it's a miracle that you can love like I did with my sister. I continually loved her, and the more she hit me and told me things, the more I loved her. Because usually when you get belittled, usually when you get words over you, the person's either jealous or they are not a healed person. They're very hurting. So when you get words over you, realize they are hurting. My sister was hurting, and I saw the hurt. But she's rejoicing in heaven because we continue to love on her. My stepfather was a horrible man. He was an alcoholic. He was terrible. But you know, in the last 2 months of his life, Pauline and I led him into the kingdom. We were the only ones that talked to him. The whole family wouldn't talk to him. We loved on him. And it brought him through to the kingdom of God. God says, do you want to be that person? To love. The greatest gift is love.